Well, there you go. That's something you don't want to hear on Sunday. Ja'Marr Chase going loose, although he is on my fantasy team, so it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But he's certainly one of the many, many weapons the Cincinnati Bengals are bringing to the table. Joe Burrow quarterbacking them, Zach Taylor coaching them. They're 7-5. They're hosting the Niners on Sunday, and we get a little sneak preview with our man Paul Daner Jr., who covers the Bengals for The Athletic. Reading a lot of Paul's stuff here. Does a great job covering the team. So, Paul, we've never had you on the Murphy and Mac show out here in San Francisco. Brian Murphy, Paul McCaffrey. Happy Wednesday morning to you.
Hey, Paul.
How you doing, Paul?
Happy Wednesday to you guys. How's it going?
All right. It's going good, man. I was reading your little bio. It says you're born, raised, and proudly Cincinnati. I like that line.
There you go.
What does that mean, proudly? Yeah. What does it mean? What's like the characteristic of somebody who's proudly Cincinnati?
Oh man, I don't know if you have that kind of thing. We're going to fill up the whole 10 minutes. Yeah, because I could go on forever. No, I mean, you know, it's Cincinnati's kind of, you know, it's flyover country, right, for a lot of people, but it's sort of it's a city that takes a lot of pride in being who it is, unique. Like, we're not Ohio, we're not Kentucky, we're like Cincinnati in its own right. There's an accountability to the people here, because it's a big enough city where you got stuff, but it's a small enough town where it has that small town feel. And I love the heart and soul of it.
Dude,
that was great.
I'm sold, man. I'm heading out there. And are you guys going to hang on to Luke Fickell, or is he out? Is he out the door? The Cincinnati Bearcat coach.
Luke might love Cincinnati as much as I do. I think he's looks like he's here to stay. He's built a winner. I think he might ride this thing into the Big 12 and see how big it can get.
See, you go mess with Alabama there, but that's a story for another day, man. Here are the Bengals, and we were just talking about it 2 years ago. The 49ers went there. And it wasn't even considered much of a challenge. Oh, the Bengals and Zach Taylor, they're going nowhere. Oh, wait, look at the Bengals now. I know they lost to the Chargers, and that was a tough home loss for them. But I would say, I'm asking you the macro, first of all, big picture. Season going well for the Bengals. Is there like a brimming optimism and arrow up about these guys? Give me the big picture take, even after the Chargers loss.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you went back to before the season started and said, all right, when San Francisco comes to town, you're going to be 7-5. Joe Burrow will have played every game, taken nearly every snap except for the ones when he sat out on multiple blowouts in the fourth quarter. And you'd be playing relevant home games in December with the playoffs on the line and a chance to win the AFC North, sitting at second place, one game behind the Ravens. You would say, really? Where do I possibly sign up for that? Is that even an option? But the fast start that they had, where they got out so quick, and after that, you know, I think you guys had the clip of Ja'Marr with the touchdown against the Ravens. After they beat the Ravens, they're 5-2. They're the toast of the AFC. They're the number one seed, almost at the midpoint, and everyone's thinking that this is what this is going to be. Well, now they're a little bit more experiencing the growing pains of late, so it's taken some of the shine off of that early surge. But in the big picture, I mean, this is a very young team, a new team that was kind of a two-year gutting of the roster since Zach Taylor got here. Kind of reminds me of the third year of Kyle Shanahan, when that kind of the parts started to come together after rough years of injuries and different stuff going on. And so when you see that start to come together, I mean, they're going to grow together, and it feels like the beginning. The opening of a window for them, for sure.
Wow, man, good stuff. And there's a lot to agree with there. Like you said, the NFL's been so weird this year that they follow a win over the Ravens with a loss to the Jets, right? I mean, that was just like crazy. But like you said, you bounce back with wins over the Raiders and the Steelers, and here they are at 7-5. So let's get into the quarterback. I mean, that's where everything is in the NFL. Joe Burrow and the pinky. Oh, he dislocated his pinky. We saw it head in the wrong direction. He came back and played. You wrote about it in The Athletic. Where are we on Wednesday morning with Joe Burrow's chances to play Sunday?
He's gonna play. That seems to be certainty. I mean, he's gonna play through it. It's something that he played through it on Sunday, and it doesn't appear to be anything worse happening once the swelling comes down. It's just gonna be a matter of how they limit him during the week, and you know, how does he get enough practice in to stay fresh and not enough to put undue pressure on the pinky as he goes through it. But I think, you know, a week to kind of prepare himself and them to prepare what it's going to look like, it's a little bit easier to deal with than when it just happened in the moment and he was just sort of gutting it out. I mean, the dude is, you know, he came with the reputation for toughness and all that intangible stuff coming from LSU. But he has showed it off this year. I mean, he's taken a lot of punishment, and not to mention the toughness of just coming back off the ACL from last year.
Yeah.
But, you know, you watch him out here, essentially, the way I penned it, he chose pain. I mean, he's out there, and he's like, I can either wear this glove and this tape and maybe not be able to make the ball go exactly how I want it to do, or it's going to hurt a lot more, and I go out there with the bare hand. I could probably still throw it pretty close to the way I want to. And he said, you know what? Let's go. Let's let it hurt, and I'm just gonna throw through it. And you wouldn't have known. I mean, by the end of the game, you would hardly have known outside of a couple of throws that he had the injury. And outside of a really fluke fumble by Joe Mixon in the fourth quarter, they would have been erasing a 24-point deficit, a 24-0 deficit, with a guy with a busted pinky. I mean, that's just kind of who he is. The idea that he wouldn't go out there and play through it no matter what is, I mean, that's not even a thought in his mind.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Wow, so he's going, and he's going to play through the pain, and he's got the Bengals, by the way. They right now, as it currently constitutes, are a playoff team in the AFC. They're currently holding the sixth seed, but as our guest Paul Daner Jr. of The Athletic, who covers the Bengals, says, they got eyes on the AFC North division. They still play the Ravens one more time, too, so they got a chance to control their own destiny. Paul, we talk about the receivers next, and those are the big play guys. You talked about Ja'Marr Chase, the rookie, and I know the story is lately that his numbers are down a little bit, but that coincides with guys like T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, and those numbers doing just fine. Tell us about this kind of three-headed receiving core, how many problems it gives teams, and a little bit on Ja'Marr Chase's sort of ups and downs.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase came on the scene, and as you said, he's on your fantasy team. You're well aware of how fast he came on the scene this year. I mean, we haven't seen a run like that by a rookie really since Randy Moss, his rookie season of that first seven games, and what he was just dominating, and teams were just not prepared, I don't think, for what he was going to be, specifically over the top. I mean, he was just blowing by everybody. He had four touchdown passes of 20-plus air yards, and most of them were 30, 40, 50-yard touchdown bombs, and he was doing everything. Then against the Ravens, he came out, and the Ravens refused to let him go deep, and he started just killing them underneath with getting yak and the big one where he gets in the spin cycle and runs 82 yards for the touchdown. And it was like, how do you stop this guy? He's kind of becoming this overall receiver. And so the attention came. After that, defense is shifting everything to him. They're clouds, brackets, you name it, whatever it is, they're focused on stopping Ja'Marr Chase. And what happened? T. Higgins has gone bananas since then, because that's just it, is that Bengals philosophy has always been, and why they took Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell back at number 5 overall, was we get this guy who changes the exact piece that we need, because they didn't feel like they had that explosion over the top that really scares and stresses defenses. We put him in, it makes it impossible to stop. And Joe Burrow has happily said, you tell me who you want to beat you. It's like the old Ghostbusters, pick your destroyer, right?
Nice, nice.
Marshmallow Man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who do you tell me? And Burrow is happy to pick T. Higgins. He's happy to pick Ja'Marr Chase. He's happy to pick Tyler Boyd. And when teams have said, we'll play deep shells and you leave you light boxes, well, for a couple of weeks, they were happy to pick Joe Mixon, who went off for over 150 yards rushing in back-to-back games. They just play what the defense says, who they have chosen to be their destroyer that day.
Wow, good stuff, Paul Daner Jr. It's scary for a Niners secondary that is banged up. And I mean, I know that's going to be something you guys write about all week. The 49ers cornerback situation is tough and not going too well. You mentioned Joe Mixon briefly. I want to get a defense question in before I let you go, Paul. But Mixon's a Bay Area kid. He's from Northern California. And obviously, he'll always be haunted by his very unfortunate situation in college. However, it seems he's turned the page and he's become a productive NFL player. Tell me about Joe Mixon's running style and how productive he's been for the Bengals.
he has reunited with offensive line coach Frank Pollock this year. Frank Pollock was in Cincinnati in 2018 for a year, and Mixon had his best season, running a ton of wide zone downhill, and it fit him really nicely. Pollock moved on when Zach Taylor came, went to the Jets, and they had offensive line coach Jim Turner. It went terribly, notably all the pressure and hits that Burrow took. And the run game never did anything. Mixon, it looked like, well, is he starting to get washed up, even though they gave him a long-term contract. They bring back Pollock this year and that wide zones downhill scheme, and man, it has fit Mixon again, and he's having his best year. I mean, you know, 4.5 basically a carry, and really of late they have leaned even heavier into him. You know, they invested in him. He's one of the few of those big money running back contracts that came through that is paying off this year in particular, with a lot of those other guys injured. Mixon has been kind of you know, the workhorse. The fumble last week was really his first in 307 snaps. Wow. That you've seen him kind of let up for a second. They have kind of found themselves with him in the wide zone scheme lately, and they're not afraid to have games where they just pound it to him over and over again. He's had 28, 29, 30 carries on multiple occasions.
Man, Paulie, the more I'm listening to Paul Daner talk about the Bengals, the more I'm not looking forward to
this game. Yeah, he's making me a little nervous. Yeah, I got to tell you, you're making me uptight out here. Yeah.
By the way, I haven't mentioned their offensive line yet, guys.
Okay, so I was going to say, by the way, Fred Pollock was a backup lineman. I covered the Niners for 7 years as a beat writer way back in another lifetime. He was our backup tackle back in the 49ers. He used to be one of those guys. You know how it is, Paul, back when locker rooms were open and you could go, the backup lineman would be the only guys who would come out at lunch. You just wound up shooting the breeze with those guys. And so we used to talk to Frank Pollock all the time. Nice to see him doing well. Just real quick, two questions. One is the defense. I see Sam Hubbard out of Ohio State, Trey Hendrickson from the Saints. These are the sack guys. Give me a description on how the Bengals defense is playing.
Yeah, the defense has really had a surprising year. I don't think people thought that it was going to be formidable at all, and it came out and really has been lived in the top 10 in a lot of your, you know, analytical and major, you know, historical categories. And so the one question with them, you know, Hendrickson has been an absolute gem. You know, their big free agent splash has paid off big time. They've gotten really good push up the middle. Chidobe Awuzie, another Bay guy, has been really good at corner. We don't know if he's going to play on Sunday, though. But, you know, they have been much more solid than you thought. The question has been, how will they be against the league's best offense? Their schedule, just the way it broke, they really hadn't played a ton of them. They had Aaron Rodgers come to town, and they did a pretty good job. But Devontae Adams went off for 200-plus yards. And that was really the only major, like, high-powered offense they had seen. And so here came the Chargers last week, and it wasn't as bad as it looked, as it sounds at 41-22, actually. They took advantage of a ton of short fields because of the turnovers. But the defense, it's still kind of a question out there. And I think with San Francisco, what Shanahan does, I think can pose problems and could possibly run it up on them. But they're in sort of a real barometer stretch for them with the Chargers, the Niners in a couple of weeks, the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes come to town.
Good stuff. And then, that's good stuff, man. And I tell you, the Bengals have to be feeling like the 49ers are gettable. Is that the general vibe going into this game?
I think they feel like this is like a lot of games they've had. They've had this stretch of a bunch of teams that are all in this middle mix, you know, between the Raiders and the Steelers and the Chargers last week. Everybody seems to be 6-6, 7-5. You know, they're all and they're just – they are really kind of feeling like their back is a little against the wall after the Chargers game too. So I think, you know, you got a lot on the line on Sunday for both of these teams. So I think, I don't know if it's gettable. I think they feel like no matter who's in front of them, they're going to need everything they got, because they can't let this season start to slide away on them and ruin what they started early and putting themselves in such a nice position.
You've been great, Paul. Last one real quick, just the biggest weakness of the team.
I mean, the line, pass protection, right? I mean, especially as they've had a few injuries start to pop up front. I mean, they can, if you force them to have to drop back and throw it a bunch and you're pinning your ears back, you can, you know, you can get to Burrow.
Interesting.
Okay. Hey, Paul, great stuff, man. I tell you what, between your comprehensive breakdown and enthusiasm
and
for Cincinnati.
And the Cincinnati pride, too.
I'm putting this thing on my to-go. Yeah. I'm going. Yeah. I'm coming to Cincy for a road trip, all right?
That was good having you, man.
I got restaurant recommendations for you. You just let me know.
Nice. I'm guessing, you know, like, I know we're talking football here, and it's football season. It's December. It's a playoff-caliber game. But I got to believe, if you are proudly Cincinnati, you do ride with the Reds.
You talk some Reds ball, yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. It's hard to talk about the Reds right now.
Yeah. Hey, I thought they, you know, I mean, decent little year last year, right? Castellanos
and
that
whole crew.
Yeah,
now they decide they're going to go, they're going to tank. They're going to tank for a few more years now again. So that's awesome.
No Castellanos. We want him out here, by the way. We'll take him.
Yeah, a lot of teams want him, as they should.
All right. Hey, Paul, enjoy the game Sunday. Happy Christmas season and all that. Thanks for coming on, man.
Have a good one, y'all.
There he is, Paul Dehner Jr.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.